Each time I want to talk to you about a very specific idea. And today I want to talk to you about effective leaders know that quitting is not an option. The U word would be unrelenting. Quitting is not an option. If I ever got my dad mad, it wasn't because I failed, it was because I quit. There's a huge difference between failing and quitting. Someone who fails, you might go out, you might try something, someone might be bigger than you, stronger than you, they might be able to, you know, that's one thing. But to quit because it gets hard is something that Satan looks for. Think of the people in Hebrews chapter 11. How many of them were at the brink of where they would say, this is just too hard. This is too hard. I'm not doing this anymore. And they didn't. They didn't quit. They kept going. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel in the lion's den. Stephen, any of those guys. It would have been easier to quit. But they didn't. And they pretty much said, God's in charge. He should be in charge. Let's see what happens. You know how fun it is to be able to know that God's in charge? And Douglas MacArthur, one of our former generals, said, age wrinkles the body. Quitting wrinkles the soul. When you get something where it's important to do and you would stop it for a circumstance. For example, if you get married someday, you should stay married and faithful to your partner for the rest of your life. You don't quit. Don't get in the habit of quitting. See, once you're in the habit of quitting, you'll quit things. Never quit. Be careful what you commit to. Be careful what you say. But once you say something, you commit to it. You stay with it. Caleb, Joshua 14, 10 to 12. Now, as you can see, the Lord has kept me alive and well, as he has promised. Caleb, how old is he in Joshua 14, do you know? 80. Yeah, he's 80, maybe even 80, a little more than that. I was trying to figure it out. His age didn't match the math that I had, but he's at least in his 80s. So you can see, 45 years since Moses made this promise. See, 45 years, he should be 85 at this point. Even while Israel wandered in the wilderness, today I'm 85 years old. Says he's 85. And I am strong now as I was when Moses sent me on the journey. Here's what's intriguing to me. And I am as strong now as I was when we started. How do you stay that way? How do you stay active and energetic? And how do you do that? You get up every day and grab the purpose, the cross that God gave you. I mean, every day, the statistics out there are amazing. People who retire, men especially, when they retire, their death rate within a year is just huge. You can go out and look at any of this. You and I were made to have a purpose, have a reason to get up in the morning and do something. And there are people that are looking forward to having nothing to do in life, nothing. Their definition of success for them will be death, just laying there not having anything to do and not having to do anything. And see, Caleb, for all these years, what was the promise? Remember, it was him and Joshua who said, we can do this. And the people said no, and God said, fine, everyone's going to die in the wilderness, all the adults, so who is it? It's Joshua and Caleb now that are left. And Caleb is saying, I remember the land that I was supposed to get. I remember that. It's 45 years. Yeah, but I remember. God didn't break a promise. I remember. Today I'm 85 years old. I'm as strong now as I was when Moses sent me into the journey. I can still travel and fight as well as I could then. That means he kept up his skills. He kept doing what he could do. He kept being somebody who wouldn't let others just do things for him. So I'm asking you to give me the hill country that the Lord promised me. I'm 85 years old. Give me that hill. If you know anything about this land, that was the tough stuff to get. That was the hardest area to get. I can imagine people saying, he's 85. There's some nice flat land over there. You can go and you can settle it. Now give me the hill. You got to love a guy that won't quit. God didn't fulfill the promise yet. He was going to, and this man wouldn't quit until God did. When I look at your generation, it's easy for us to begin to want to quit on what's going on in the world. Believe me. You look at what's going on out there, and it is a wreck. It is a train wreck almost everywhere. I don't even want to watch the news anymore. Every single day there's things happening that should not be happening in this country or anywhere. It'd be so easy to just forget it, go mentally numb on it. Don't do that. Never quit. Almost all the time you see it in life, when somebody's on the edge of something great, the temptation to quit is there. Because you can't see the future. But you do know who has the future. There were so many times in our younger ministry here where I just thought, you know, God, it'd be so easy to walk from here. It takes so much money to run this. People don't want to spend money. They don't want to. It's impossible to do this. Well, it's 49 years and we're still here. Part of it is understanding Caleb. Because I made a commitment years ago that I would never leave this place when it was under duress or it was hard. In other words, I wouldn't quit. If I left, I would leave when everything was going well and I felt I should leave. You know, I'm still here. So things haven't smoothed out enough yet for me to leave. Because quitters leave because of circumstances. They're not moved on. They quit because of circumstances. That's why people can bail out of their marriages and stop commitments and other things, because circumstances rule them. The commitment never ruled them. Just when Caleb knew that this land was theirs, Joshua was 85 years old. He said, give me that land. I want it. I'll go do the hard stuff. I will do it. And he said, so I'm asking you, give me the hill country the Lord promised me. You will remember that as scouts found the Anakites living there in great walled cities. But if the Lord is with me, I will drive them out of the land just as the Lord has said. I know you know there's giants there, and I know you know they're well fortified. Let them meet me. And if God wants them gone, an 85-year-old will beat them. God wanted them gone. An 85-year-old beat them. Caleb got the land. Why? He didn't quit. He didn't quit. I am very thankful that I never quit along the way. There's been very hard times here at camp, and I'm very glad I did not quit. God has showed himself so phenomenally. I'm not even sure any of you understand the miracle that you're living in. I mean, the chapel that we go into, it not only is paid up to date, but I had a gentleman this last weekend meet me and tell me that he's going to pay for the rest that isn't done yet, which means the air conditioners and some other little things that are going to be put in there someday. The bottom line is you're looking at a building, and it's like this building is massively expensive. We have 8-year-olds to, you know, however old in there right now, and it's completely paid for. We don't have a fundraising department or people to do that. We don't do that. That's supposed to be my job, and I go out and teach instead. The gym that you've seen is completely paid for. This building over here that we're building recently got a donation check from an insurance company, which is extremely odd. I was trying to get equipment for one of our staff, and I wrote a letter to a company and said, you know, I'd really like to get this equipment for our staff. And I thought, I don't know, I'll just step out in faith and get it. Well, I just got a note yesterday, we're giving you what you asked for. We already bought half of what we wanted to, and now we'll buy the other half for them, so that they have the tools they need to do their job. It's amazing to be where God wants you, but in order for you to live by faith, you will always have to walk up to the edge. There is no way to live by faith and have everything worked out. There's no way to do that. You see, so if you would quit because things got tough, it could be that at that moment, all the angels and all of heaven, like in Job's story or in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're all waiting now to see you and see how you respond. And if you quit, you just lost the opportunity that could have been yours. You know, what happens a lot of times is, here's how you know you're a quitter. I'll give you some ways. Number one, you cope instead of thrive. In other words, something happens to you and you say, well, I just hope I get through this. That's a quitter. That's somebody that's willing to quit. Instead of, look at this. I wonder what this means. I wonder what this means. Recently, I was just talking to Brooke about that. I have some other food allergy thing going on. I'm not sure what it is. Food allergy things are weird. I eat a lot of things. How do I know which one is causing the problem? So you got to start eliminating, like one at a time for 2 weeks and figure out, did that make any difference? Did this one? It drives me nuts. Of course, I start with the stuff I like the most. I love cheese. I'm thinking, maybe it's dairy. I'm thinking, all right, God, what's going on here? I'm narcoleptic. I got a heart issue. I got clotting issues. I live in the Northwoods. I was a swimmer in high school, and I'm allergic to the lake. I live in Wisconsin. Are you going to make me dairy and lactose intolerant too? I mean, I could be somebody who says, well, I hope I just get through it. But instead, it's like, okay, whatever it is, very interesting. We're going to beat this thing. I'll find out what it is. I won't eat it. And now when I talk to people who have these kind of problems, they can relate better to me, and I can talk to them, and we can say, it'll work. See, you can thrive in what happens to you, or you can just survive. God didn't make us to just survive. He didn't do that. You see people going, I just hope I make it. Yeah, there are some days where that's the goal. I can understand that. But that shouldn't be a long-term goal for anybody. People who are quitters are people who cope instead of thrive. The next thing, I think, they choose numbness over feelings. People who are quitters, they go numb. I've been operated on quite a few times when I hate being operated on. Did you like being operated on, Colin? Yeah, me too. That's what I hated. Because I always pictured these doctors drawing faces on my belly and doing things. I'm completely out and at their mercy. I have no idea what they're doing to me while I'm gone. Not only that, I'm sure as soon as I was out, they whip all the clothes off. Here I have a naked body laying on this thing. I'm thinking, really, I'm not overly comfortable this way. So you know how I deal with it? I just go numb. Whatever. Just get me out of here. See, that's all you do. You go numb. That's a response that we have, a numbness response. Numbness is not a health response. It's a way that you do, it's a coping mechanism is what it is. And I just said, if you cope, you're a quitter. Now, if you're in a prison of war camp, they teach you, go numb. Why? Because when you get out, then maybe you can get life again. But you got to go numb there because they're going to come and say, we're going to put bamboo under your fingernails. Yeah, go ahead. I mean, you have to go numb or you're not going to make it. However, God didn't make you to go numb. And too many people, do you ever wonder why people do self-harm in our country? They're numb and you're not meant to be numb. You love to feel something. You can't go numb. Numb people quit. You can't go numb. There are some things that you need to allow yourself to feel certain things. Let's say something tragic happened in your life. And I can keep using Colin because he's sitting here. There's something that tragic happened in his life. Anybody that doesn't say, man, that's tragic, I feel badly about that, they're out to lunch somewhere. That means that, nobody feels good about this. See, what I just did is I acknowledged my feelings, but I'm not going numb. I'm not going to say I'm okay with it. I will never say that I'm okay with him getting shot on that day. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to say that stinks. This shouldn't happen. That's what I'm going to do. So I acknowledge my feelings, and I refuse to go numb. What's the option? Oh, well, it just happened. I just can't do anything about it. It's telling me to come and talk to you, I think. Don't call me. Don't even try. So if you go numb, not good. Another way that you can identify a quitter is they choose comfort over conviction. In other words, in a situation they're in, rather than really take it on, they'll go the comfortable route. If they have to confront somebody, whatever, they don't do it, they quit. They quit on their friends. You see, they don't want to really say what they need to. They're quitters. If you're in a friendship, you have an obligation to that friend. You're the other eyes, the other ears, the other emotion part. You need that. And you're a quitter if you think any is a direction. In other words, if any direction works for you. You could be a quitter. Why? Because you don't have much to back that up. So anything will stop you from going anywhere. And you're a quitter if your hope is dependent on others and circumstances. In other words, if your hope is pinned on somebody, money, circumstances, whatever, you're going to be a quitter. Because those circumstances are all going to change. And you better not have your hope pinned on that. The only one that doesn't change is God, obviously. Corrie Ten Boom, you remember? Remember what she went through? Have you read her books at all? I mean, she was in the German concentration camps and just horrible, 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 horrible stuff going on. Here's what she said. Worry does not empty tomorrow of sorrow. It empties today of strength. Oh, yeah. That's what it does. See, we fear what's going to happen tomorrow, so we quit today. Really? That's not the right response. Tomorrow is going to be tough. I promise you this. If you think it's been tough till this point in your life, tomorrow will be tougher. Why? It never gets easier. And it won't get easier. However, as you learn and you grow and you love, you realize how to rest in God, and you realize you don't quit, and you go forward, and you're excited that God put you in certain places. There are people that I get to talk to quite a bit about various things. And sometimes I wonder why in the world they're coming to me. Because I've heard enough heartache, I've heard enough pain, I've heard enough of this stuff in my life. I don't want to hear anymore. Not only that, there are people that know better. They know the Bible, they've had it. All I got to do is read it and apply it. What are they coming to me for? Because I'm going to tell them, read it and apply it. I mean, it's not that hard. It's easy to want to quit on that. The truth of the matter is that we're not called to be quitters. We're called to be people who God will use, and sometimes and most times through the most adverse circumstances, that's when he uses us the most. See, my light shines brightest in the darkest place. And if I'm going to insist on being in light so that my light can be seen, then you'll never see my light because the light's too bright anyway. So in life, I go into the darkness so that the light can be seen. A couple of verses for you to hang on. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now either that's the truth or God's a liar. All things means all things, by the way. No matter what you've been through, none of you have been through what Jesus went through. And he understands everything you've been through. And he says, you know what? Here's how you get through stuff. You say, well, I just want to get to the point where stuff doesn't happen to me in life. It's not going to happen. This is a sinful world. It's going to pass away. There's going to be sinful people. Everything in this world is tainted by it. The only way for you to get through is to align yourself, attach yourself to God, and listen to him and love him and let him do his thing. You see, what happens here is I can do all things through him. It's not that I can, you know, this isn't talking about I can go lift 5,000 pounds above my head. You know, that's not what it's talking about. It would be a misapplication. It means all of the stresses and strains of life, no matter what they are, I can go through them. Acts 20:24, but I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself. Isn't the Apostle Paul saying that? I don't even count my life precious to myself. If only I may finish my course in the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. He says, my life isn't important. What's important is I get opportunities. Now, I shared this with Colin when he was in the hospital. He's always going to be the kid from Antigo that got shot. Always. You can't get away from that. Sorry. But you know what? That's a platform. That isn't a disability. That's a platform. People don't know what you think. He'll get tired of talking about it. He'll get tired of thinking about it. I was a kid. I was a crippled kid. Right? What was it like? I'm tired of talking about it. Thank you. All right, I'll talk about it. Why? Because you need to hear it. Now, I'm the guy who got cut from the Oka baseball team. Yeah, let's not talk about it anymore. All right, I'll talk about it. Why? Because I was that bad. And yes, you can do things if you're that bad in life. You can. See, you may think it's a disability, but God arranged it. And our job is to show the world that there is hope and who he is. That's how we get our strength in him. And basically, Apostle Paul is saying, I do not account my life as any value or precious to myself. My life isn't about me. You know why we get most miserable in life and why we quit? Because everything in the world isn't about us like we want it to be. The Apostle Paul, he could walk right into danger. He could make, it wasn't about him, and he knew that. So when it wasn't about him, it wasn't like, oof, that's news. No, it's not about him. John 14:16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever. Holy Spirit is right here. He lives within me. I don't care what the situation is. He's ready to guide. I don't care how tough it is. He's ready to guide. 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but all should reach repentance. Even God wishes that everybody would come to him. He knows that's not going to happen. But he's patient. Keeps waiting, wanting people to. So he could make them. Doesn't work. You can't make people love. That doesn't happen. And God waits. See, What's really interesting is how many people in the millennial generation especially can just quit. They can just switch gears. Poof, poof, I'm over here. Don't be a quitter. It won't help you do anything well. Learn to keep commitments. Learn to never, ever quit. Learn the difference between quitting and changing directions. There is a difference. And you'll know, because quitting means I'm just getting out of here because I want to be more comfortable. I don't like the situation. I want to start over. Don't quit. Develop a dislike for quitting. When, silly illustration, but I was watching Wheaton College football team practice, and the guy that's their head coach is a guy that was a quarterback when I played. And all of a sudden he stopped and went over and started grabbing one of the guys. He said, "Do you realize, are you going to cheat on your wife someday?" And he's looking at this big guy. I'm interested in what he's saying to him. He said, "You're not supposed to leave until that ball snapped. And you, in other words, you understand the rules, but you broke them. Are you going to do that in every area of life? Are you going to keep doing that over and over again? Are you?" It's like, whoa. It's important. Don't quit, no matter what it is. The smallest job you have, don't quit. Don't quit before it's done. Because if you do, you're in the habit of quitting when hard things happen. In fact, I don't know if you've ever been in a job up here where you're doing it and all of a sudden something breaks and gets harder, and then something breaks and gets harder. That's like my life. Everything I work on, Linda just waits for it. If I say I got a half-hour job, it's like a five-hour job. There's no doubt. Because something's going to break in the middle of it. And I have it in me. You can't quit. You can put it aside for a minute, but you can't quit until that job's done. I tell you, it served me very well to learn that you don't quit. And if I were to encourage you, don't quit. First week we were talking about, I asked you to deepen your relationships eye to eye with people, like Powell's levels of communication, that kind of thing. This week, or till Thursday anyway, I want you to keep thinking about, okay, in the areas that I have, am I going to finish them well, do them well, or am I a quitter? In my relationships, am I going to have good relationships, or am I going to quit because they get hard? Am I going to be a quitter, or am I going to be somebody? Do you have these qualities? It's written, so you can go look at it in your writing. Are you a coper? I mean, if you're somebody who just copes, maybe you need to say, no, I'm going to turn these situations where I can thrive. If you're someone who goes numb, it's not going to work for you, I promise. You need to be able to express your feelings. If you're choosing comfort over your conviction, I'm sorry, you're going to be a quitter. If you think any is a direction, you're going to be a quitter. And if you think hope is your hope is dependent on somebody else or a circumstance, you're going to be a quitter. So you straighten out some of those things, and all of a sudden you're not a quitter anymore. Instead, you're looking for different things. I keep looking as I pray for Colin and his family, and I keep looking for how God's going to use this in his life and other people's lives. All right, because God didn't quit. He's doing stuff, and I'm looking for how. And there's a lot of other situations from people that are up here. There's little boys up here from our club in Antigo that I go and talk to, and I'm looking for, how are you going to grab this guy, God? And it's like, we have kids that come up here, honestly, that don't know how to use silverware because they've never sat down and had a meal with somebody at a table. And I can, if I had to, show you who they are, because we've been trying to train them how to use silverware. That's pretty tragic. You say, oh man, this is, now, you know what you do? You say, okay, that's where we're at. Here's a fork. Let's teach them how to use it. Well, let's have them learn something while they're here. We can't quit. We can't quit on the nation. We can't quit on our friends. We can't quit on our churches. Doesn't mean that we don't cause rabble-rousing once in a while, but we don't quit. Otherwise, you just go numb. And you just sit at your church and go numb. And you sit in your place and go numb. And your friendships, you go numb. Not good. That's a precursor to quit. Don't quit. Stay in there. I will know, some of you, towards the end of the summer, your brain will start gearing in towards what you're doing in the fall, and etc. And you will have a real hard time finishing strong. My suggestion to you is use the summer to learn how to never quit. The day you leave, make that the hardest day you worked, the best day, and you leave with everything the way it should be. See, that's somebody who learned not to quit. And if you don't do that, you'll be a quitter. And quitting doesn't work, I promise. So let me pray. Father, again, thank you for your love and your guidance. Thank you for, again, this beautiful day. It's a day we just go out and enjoy what you have made. And you're our Father, so you made it for us to enjoy. Thank you very much. I pray you be at this group. Allow them to continue to mold together and enjoy each other and see what they're about. In Jesus' name, amen.